Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein, and this is episode 24. Today is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, and I am joined by the lovely and amazing, witty, sarcastic, and all these other crazy things that I should also include funny, Jillian Fisher.
Jillian, hello. How are you? I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm obviously super jealous that you got to go to one of my favorite places in the whole entire world.
That's Nashville. You can't go wrong going there, honestly. I know they get some hate. By some, I mean a decent chunk. But honestly, it's just world class anytime you go there. It really is.
You know, I make it seem like I've been there, and I haven't.
What? Okay, well, now I know this. I need to force you to go to Nashville. You will absolutely have a fantastic time when you go.
You know, I had started this new job that I, well, new now, I'm there 2 years. I had started this job that I'm in 2 years ago. And my wife got sent there for work, and I was trying to sneak onto the tail end of her trip, but we couldn't get anybody to watch the kids. I didn't have any vacation time, and it just didn't work out.
And bringing your kids to Nashville, like, I feel like when you go to Nashville, you just need to go hard. So you can't have your kids there. So like that is a critical piece, getting somebody to watch the kids.
It's like a mini more fun Vegas, my wife.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's what I like about it is like Vegas is so overwhelming for me. When I was there, like I loved my time in Vegas. The most frustrating thing was that I could not get off of the strip. Like when you're on the strip, and my hotel was off of the strip, it was out by the airport. And I could not get off. I was stuck in the Bellagio, and I was in just like a gross hoodie and my jeans, and I had just been at the game, and I walked into the Bellagio, and I went to the spot, and they were like, you're not supposed to be here. I was like, I just need to get out of here. How do I get out of this building? And they're like, you have to go up the stairs, take the elevator, make a left, and then go down the stairs. I'm like, why is there just not an exit? So that's why I like Nashville.
I have many, many, many stories of Las Vegas, probably too many to admit, but in my prior media life, I was involved in an automotive TV show for a really long time. So I went to Vegas for the big SEMA show out there every end of October, early November. I did that like 9 years straight. So a lot of my stories have to do with Vegas in that regard, but we're not going to go there.
It's a fun time, though. It is definitely a fun time when you're there, for sure. So no digging at Vegas there.
All right, well, this is not a destination podcast, so we're going to get right into why I wanted to have you on, and that is your amazingly fantastic YouTube channel and Twitter. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I make my bio. I said my mom's probably so proud, but my bio says I drink and make funny videos about sports, and that's kind of what it comes down to. I really focus on hockey, and it's just kind of poking fun at hockey fandom, hockey in general, and providing information in a different manner with Twitter and social media and everything the way the internet is anymore. We have so much information that we have access to, and it's lightning fast. You know, you can essentially not watch a game, but watch it on Twitter and all these, this great way that we're all connected. And I've wanted to be a part of the conversation. I really love fandom and sports fans, and I just wanted to find a way to be a part of that, but also provide information in a fun way. And I kind of morphed it into like this, I call it infotainment. So when you watch it, you know, usually you feel like you have a general pulse on the league, like what's going on in the NHL. But also hopefully you laugh. That's the other thing. I like to not even laugh, but just, you know, make your day brighter and it kind of enjoy it and not be totally bored with the information that's being presented to you.
I understand that you also have a background in anthropology. So how is that? How has that amazing little tidbit of information helped you in this crazy endeavor of yours?
So I think that's actually like when I first started this, you know, I've been doing this for like maybe 3 years, 4 years, all blends together. And my biggest passion was like fan cultures, like not just in the United States and in hockey, but around the world. I've always found fandom to be such this universal thing that can be explored, and you really get to know a local community by knowing the local fans. I really believe that. And I tried to get that messaging across, and I would always like say, just like think about all the food and travel shows, but do it through sports. And it just never was gaining the traction. And I was like, you know what, this is kind of dry material. I get why people aren't, you know, picking up on it, but I still wanted to be a part of the sports fandom, you know, not just the sports media and the news and the analytics and the numbers, but be a part of like that cultural aspect of like fans and what is each fan base like and what is each fan base feeling. And, you know, in anthropology, a lot of what we do and like the ethnography side of it, which again, we're getting into like really boring stuff or dry stuff, is like when you do like a basic one is just explaining a microculture or culture. And when that fan or whoever it is reads it, is like, yeah, that's me. She totally got me. And that's what's so exciting for me when I make these videos. You know, a lot of fan bases are like, yep, that is us to a T. And I'm like, ah, it makes me so happy. Like I geek out about it because I try so hard to really understand each fan base and like what each fan base is feeling. And it's really fun for me when I see fans being like, yes, that's so us. Like, and sometimes I do it in jest, like with the Islanders and, you know, being first in the Metro. But that's what's really fun for me. So that's how that anthropology, I think, really meshes well with what I'm doing.
You actually beat me to the punch there because I wanted to open with, hey, did you know the Islanders are first place in the Metro? And I just completely spaced on it because we were just talking about Vegas and Music City.
That's my bad. I'll take blame for that.
It's fine. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we could probably talk about it like 17 more times. And like I joked with you on Twitter, and, you know, I don't know if you guys listening have seen what I had gone back and forth with Jillian about. I said, this is not us at all. And then I said, all right, well, maybe it is a little bit. And I think that just lends to exactly what you said, because you kind of nailed that one little intricacy of our fan base.
Yes.
You know, we have been down and out for so long, and this year
it's exciting.
It is an exciting, crazy year that nobody really expected after Tavares left. So, you know, we're going to take everything in stride here. We're obviously playing with house money, and we'll get into that in a little while.
Yeah.
Another Vegas tie-in. And, you know, I mean,
I think what's interesting for me is like, so that the last video I did where, you know, the lines were just, you know, Vegas, did you know that the Islanders are first in the Metro? I made it because the video prior to that, I tried to make a joke about how the Islanders fans were like, hey, everyone pay attention to us. Like, we're doing better than we expected. And when I wrote it, they were like fourth in the Metro. Like they were behind Pittsburgh. Yeah, they were behind Pittsburgh, the Caps, and Columbus. And by the, and it was like the, that video was the bane of my soul. I thought it was going to be the simple video. It turned into this really complex thing when I did the midseason report cards. And like, I even threw in a line at the end about how, you know, the NHL final is like, okay, the Islanders, yes, you are doing better than we expected. Okay. Are you happy now? And I really thought I nailed it really well. But then what happened by the time I published it, because it took me so long, is that they were first in the Metro by the time I published it. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And it just like, and the video before that I hadn't included them because it was, I didn't include every team. So they were, there were a lot of very angry fans. So it's like, I really hope I got it right this time because like, I love you guys. Like some of my first memories and really doing like the cultural anthropology side of it is I went to Barclays and learned about like the fan base there. And so I have a lot of connections to the Islanders and I really do love you guys. So that's what was so tough for me. I was like, I don't understand the hate.
I need to cut you off right there. Have you attended a game at the Coliseum?
I have not, no.
What?
And I have like a throw of people trying to get me there on 228, and I really am trying so hard, and I may just have to like, you know, my boss is probably not listening, so I may just have to like fake sick, even though like I had called out sick today because I was not feeling well at all today. Because I am trying to get down there for 228 because I have so many people. And it's 228 at the Coliseum because that's the date everyone keeps telling me.
It is at the Coliseum.
Okay.
It is the snake's return. He is going to slither through his bed sheets and pajamas back to where it all began.
So this is why they want me on 228. Because like if it's a weekend game, it's just so much easier for me to get down there. And I really do because I've heard so many great stories too about the tailgates and everything. And I love that stuff. Like that to me is the huge part of the sport is like the camaraderie and all of the stuff that happens, not just in that, you know, in that 60 minute frame. So I really do want to get down there. I promise. It's not that I'm avoiding it. Everyone tells me how awesome it is. Why would I want to avoid that?
It is fantastic. It's loud. It is, you know, boisterous. It is, like you said, the tailgates are just fantastic. And you're down in near Philly, correct?
Well, I'm up in Boston now.
Oh,
so
now
I'm
you're
from
in Boston.
Philly.
Okay.
I'm from Philly, but I live. I know I'm so confusing. That's what I always tell people. I'm sorry. I'm confusing. I grew up in Philly, lived there, and I've been up in Boston for I think 4 years. But for one of those years, I lived in Georgia. So again, really confusing. so it is like, and getting from Boston to New York, you think would be easier, but you have to go through Connecticut, which is always the worst experience of my life. I always struggle in Connecticut. So
my best friend, who's like my brother, lives like four exits into Connecticut from New York. And the worst part of the drive, and I'm on the east end of Long Island, so I'm almost even with you in Boston because I'm out in East Hampton. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Those last four exits in Connecticut probably take me as long as it does to get through the Bronx.
What is up with Connecticut? Seriously. Always a problem. Always.
I think everybody who drives through Connecticut, at least when they go from New York across the border into Connecticut, is thinking the same thing at the same exact time. Why the hell am I in Connecticut?
Yes. So I want to get down there. I just have to... I can't make any promises for 228, but I am trying to make it down there either for 228 or for, because there's more games after 228, correct? I remember reading like there was like 10 games or something, right?
Yeah, correct. We have one more game at the Barclays, I believe, this season, and then the rest of the regular season games are going to be in Nassau, and then I think the playoffs. It's been going back and forth, but a couple of things of what I've heard is that the first round is potentially going to be in Nassau Coliseum.
Should be awesome.
If they advance past the first round, they'll be in the Barclays. I think for the suite revenue, which is understandable. But.
But God, doesn't it suck that it always comes down to the almighty dollar?
These guys buy these teams and run these teams to make money, right? So.
Oh, yes.
All right, now we're sidetracked.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Sorry. This is like, you can't have a conversation with me without like ending up. I say my stories, I always start like I was at the office and then all of a sudden you're in the forest and then all of a sudden you're at McDonald's. Like sorry, this happens a lot with me.
You know, if my wife listens to this episode, she'll probably think that we're related because this is pretty much how you explain everybody in my family.
Yeah.
It's a typical Sherline story because you started here and you wound up all the way over here. And you never even got your original point across.
Yeah, I can't even remember. I feel like there was a point that we were trying to get to, but we might have not got to. So I'm sorry. This is how all my stories end, too. I apologize for being a terrible storyteller. So sorry, guys.
All right, so let's back it up. Because you know, we did write down what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like we can't confer to, you know, or refer to what we're doing.
Yes.
So we talked about your background.
Yes.
We talked about anthropology. How huge of a hockey fan are you? We touched on that a little bit. But, you know, give me a little bit of background on how you became a fan.
I grew up with it. So, and I know like in Philly, you're not in Canada, but you're also not in like Tampa Tampa's a bad example because they're doing really well. But you're not in like a non-traditional market, but I just grew up with it. I have three older brothers, two of them played. I grew up, you know, it was called the barn and you would just go and it was literally just a barn. And, you know, my mom's favorite sport is hockey. So whether it was the Flyers or, you know, she loved staying up for all the overtimes and playoffs. So, she, you know, we would do that growing up as like memories that we have together. She would just, it didn't matter if it was a two teams she didn't care about. Like, that's what she loved doing. She loved watching that. And I think that's, you know, there's no defining moment of me for like when I loved hockey because I just grew up with it. But I think I was telling this story before. There was a defining moment when I realized that like I was a Philly fan and that Philly fans had a reputation. And like that was the most shocking thing for me. Like I remember being like, oh, Flyers fans are jerks. I did not know that. I don't see myself as a jerk. But then like as you take on this personality, you know, that's how it comes into that. But I've always been a fan, and any chance, like when I lived in Spain, I really tried hard to do some stuff in Spain for hockey. It was just very difficult because I lived in a really like a spot where there wasn't any. But when I went to Australia, I made sure to hang out with like the AIHL, and I even got on the ice with the Melbourne Ice, and then they have the Melbourne Mustangs. So, you know, I've always tried to incorporate hockey into my travels and just in life in general.
You really are, and I joked about this with you previous,
yeah,
that you really are the most interesting woman in the world. And it comes out a little more the more you talk about things.
I said I need Dos Equis. Can Dos Equis sponsor me? That'd be amazing. But thank you. I don't see myself like that, but I really do appreciate it. I in my anthro classes, my one professor that really got me into it, I used to always joke that she was like James Bond. And she would just tell you these stories about like she studied in Greece and how she was like interrogated by the Greece, like the government there. And, you know, if you tell her you're going to like this remote village in Africa, she's like, okay, well, when you're there, talk to this person. And I just always loved that. And she was never cocky about it. She was never in your face. She was just always very matter of fact and just, I just thought she was the most badass woman ever. And I was like, that's what I want to be like. And I'm like, it feels great to like have all these travel experiences, but I love being able to connect people around the world. Like that's my favorite thing. Just the interconnectedness of sports. I love it.
Well, it's funny that you say that because we have a question that could roll right into that. Isn't that funny how that works?
Oh, how'd that happen?
I don't know. So how do you nail down all these little nuances about all the little, you know, the quirks and the little intricacies of all the fans and, you know, stuff like that.
I joke that, like, it is my background in anthropology a little bit. But, like, in general, it's just paying attention. Like, we're so lucky that in today's world that we have access to all of this information. And between Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything, there's so many ways that you can connect with fans and see what fans are talking about. You know, I say I always just read the comments, which is generally like a really scary thing to do. But you really get an idea of like if you take away the two extremes of things. I'm so sorry. I just dropped my pen. So that's that loud noise that you guys heard.
Unacceptable.
If you just take away the extremes and you just see just what the middle ground is saying, you can really get a vibe of what people are feeling there. And I think that's the hardest thing for me is that I'm such a perfectionist that like there's definitely times where I feel like fan bases are split, like with Panarin right now. You know, you see a lot of people in Columbus who are like, obviously we need to get rid of him now and get something back for him, or the other half is like, we obviously have to keep him. So like, it is tough for me because I am a perfectionist and I don't like it when people feel like I didn't get their team right. Cause I'm like, I tried so hard. I really did. And you know, there's so many ways to figure out these little nuances and what's important to them. So I'm very critical of myself on that. There's a lot of things that don't bother me when people comment about it, but like when people feel like I didn't get them correctly, that is the one where I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I should do you better.
I think it's the way that you project everything in a way that, and it makes me feel like maybe you took some acting classes.
Yeah. I have not. Well, no, that's why I did take one acting class. One. But that was a long time ago. A long, long time ago.
But the way that you project everything and you change, you slightly change your own personality and like your tone and infliction and everything. And it like really makes you kind of get lost in the video. And it's funny because I had seen a couple of your videos, you know, dating back a little while, and you know, I don't spend too much time watching video. I don't really get a chance to sit in front of the computer all that much unless it's to do, you know, this, which has only been since July. But I've watched quite a bit of the older videos just to learn a little bit more about you, and I wasn't stalking you. Don't worry.
No, no, it's okay. I mean, thank you for the views. I appreciate it. I could use. I need them. So.
And it's just I got sucked down a rabbit hole. Like even before we came on, I watched like four more, and
thanks.
It's just fantastic. The league and fans need someone like you. Because there's so much serious stuff, and the world kind of takes themselves a little too seriously sometimes, especially in the weird climate that we're in.
Yeah, it is. It is tough, and I feel like hockey, but also I feel like baseball is another sport where this happens, but hockey is really bad, where they take it like very, very serious, like very, very, very serious, and it's just like a little bit of humor, not even humor, but just like poking fun at ourselves. You know, there's no reason not to. There's so many good things that we could make fun of ourselves. And I just, again, and we're providing information, you know, it's not like it's useless. Like you're getting an idea of like what's really happening in the NHL in just a slightly humorous and self-deprecating way.
I think that's the key is the self-deprecation because I'm a huge Monty Python fan.
Yes.
So I think that anytime you can make fun of yourself and laugh about it is the best kind of joke that there is.
Yeah. And I think that's anytime you put yourself out there on the internet, you have to be able to do that. But I think that's in general, I think the most people who watch it get that, like, making fun of the Islanders and being like, oh, we're first in the Metro. Like, but that's also what's happening. And I think that one of the first comments that somebody wrote about it, as I was like, in all honesty, like, yeah, have fun. Like, be kind of annoying. Like, everyone doubted you. Be in their face. You know, just the only thing I will say is, like, don't be, like, there are some people who, and this is just the internet in general, but, like, you know, they get really nasty about it, which is where I was like worried about this, how people were going to receive the last video. But for the most part, most fans just want you to know that they're doing well because everyone, you know, pooped on them in the beginning of, before the season started. So it's really fun to be first in the Metro and nobody thought that was going to happen. And it's amazing. It's wild. It's a great story.
We'll touch a little bit more on some Islander specific things in a few minutes. We've pretty much got to almost everything that I wanted you to talk about. You know, what has been though your best or most favorite experience so far to date in the time that you've been doing this?
Well, like, are we talking about in all the travels and everything or just with video making, like just with doing these videos? Because those are two very large questions.
Why don't you give us a little taste of both there?
Okay, so probably my, I don't know why I asked that because I have like so many now that I'm, and now I just doubled on my, Okay, favorite experience of travels. I definitely, in Australia, I really loved getting to know the local hockey community there and like getting to be on the ice with the players and just kind of learning their driving, like, are their motivating factors for playing hockey there? Because like in America, in Canada, there's a potential to have a career in it. Like you can make money off of it. There's a path for you, but in Australia there isn't. So it was fascinating to see like one, how many Canadians were there, playing in the AIHL, but also just people who were playing because they love the sport. And that was so fascinating to me because hockey is a sport that on most places in the world, it's not second nature. Like you have to actively go out and seek it. So that was a really cool experience getting to learn about that and just seeing that firsthand, you know, halfway across the world and just seeing how the hockey community really is connected even when you're, you know, thousands of miles away. In terms of making videos, I was just in Nashville and it blew my mind, the people that recognized me and the people that came up to me to like thank me for making videos. And that to me, again, blew my mind, because when you put videos on the internet, like you've done a deep dive, you've probably seen most of my videos before August got like maybe 300 views. And like they were, you know, they weren't, there was no like virality to them. And it just means a lot to me when somebody's like, your videos brighten my day. Or like if I'm like somebody came up to me and they said, you know, when I'm having a bad day, I just go look at one of your videos. And that to me just is so incredible. And like, if I could just keep doing that, that's what I love. I love hearing that from people, just how the videos can brighten their day is so, it's very special to me. I don't take it lightly, and I don't take myself serious, but I really do love hearing that.
Well, you should be proud, and yeah. I'm glad that that's what you take from it, especially because you're a woman in a men's market. Yeah. And a men's sport for all intents and purposes. So I think that that's really great. And, you know, you're not alone. There are tons of great people producing great things that mm-hmm. happen to be women. And I love that. It's, I'm not one of those people who are totally against it. And if you follow the Islanders, you know, we've got three of some of the best hockey women around on our telecast. So,
which is so amazing, too. I also love that. Because again, it's I'm excited to see the trajectory for women in hockey and women covering the sport and women playing the sport, because I just would love to see hockey really be kind of a leader in that. And I know soccer has, you know, we see the women's soccer team, but aside from just the national team, I feel like hockey's in this special spot where they really can go on this awesome trajectory, and you know, I'd like to see the momentum continue in this direction.
You know, it's an exciting game, and, you know, anybody can play, like they say. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the best things about our sport. And the fact that the league is receptive to this and is starting to do things, you know, to that end is very special as well. Now,
definitely.
Before we get too sidetracked, I have one more very, very, very interesting question, because it's something that was one of the first things I noticed. And oh God, I lost it. How many costume change? Or how long do the costume changes take you to record? And it seems like you have like an endless supply of hockey swag.
So this is always a tough one. So I have collected the shirts over my travels. So I definitely, that's where they've kind of come from. Recently, I have kind of started buying a couple things here and there. I've gotten a couple gifts from people and from my family, so that I have added probably like 10 pieces, which is a lot, you know, really like 10 pieces of hockey swag is a lot. I have one bin from Target that I just fold everything very nicely. And by fold everything very nicely, at the end, I usually just throw it and like shove everything in there and just like force the lid shut. Because by the end of it, I'm tired usually, because it is a pain in the butt to change like that. Especially because I have to change locations too. So it's a lot of like pre-production work where like, I'm like, okay, this team is going to be sitting in this location. And I like list like five teams that'll sit there, and I have to make sure that I like their lines, you know, next to each other. So that way, you know, the Islanders aren't right behind the Devils, and I don't want those two lines to go back to back. I'm such a perfectionist. It's annoying. And then I do that. And then what I do is I lay the shirts out in that location, and I just set up the tripod, set up the microphone, and I just roll. And I just, I'm like, okay, what are the lines? Say them real quick, change. And then I move the camera. And honestly, I've gotten it down to the last video I recorded. It took me about an hour and a half. And then I did a couple things outside for this one, because the Islanders were outside and the Jets were outside. So that took me a little bit longer. But I've gotten it down where I can film it usually under 2 hours now. So, you know, I'm like proud of that. I really am.
Well, I give you credit, because, I mean, I know when I started out just doing audio here on the podcast, it was a very daunting task. And I've gotten it, like you, down to a science, and I do things a little differently. And I don't really want to give too much away on the podcast, but I do stuff on the run, I should say.
Yes. Yeah. And like, again, like you said, you got to get it down to like, you have to fine tune it. It takes time to figure out what works and what doesn't work. But like, it starts feeling really good when you're like, yeah, I got this. Like, I can do this now.
And like you, you know, there's been a couple of times when I've kind of doubted myself and said, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? You know, but then I look and I see that people are downloading and enjoying it and, you know, talking about it. That's the biggest thing for me, is I want people to continue to talk about hockey, talk about the Islanders. This is my favorite thing in the whole entire world.
Yes. It's fun to share that. It's very fun to share that.
Fun to share passion, and the feedback's been great. So that's the thing that keeps me going. And with that, we're going to roll into some Isles talk.
Yes, absolutely.
So you touched on this before with how some of the fans can be nasty, especially, you know, with everything on the internet. So how bad have Isles fans been to you?
So I would say just like on the whole, just slightly above like what the average is. So like that's actually not that bad. I would say what happens is, so because you have the Isles fans who are just like, you know, kind of reminding you like, hey, by the way, you all thought we were going to be trash and here we are first in the Metro. Like that's fine. But then what happens is then you get like the extra nasty people. Like somebody DM'd me about my dogs and I was like, whoa, guys, whoa, like coming after my dogs, like really? But the thing is that like people are nasty on the internet in general. And I think what's happened is when you combine it with just like Isles fans, I don't want to say being obnoxious, because like I don't think it's wrong to be in everyone's face about like how well you're doing, but you have a prominent voice right now, more so than other teams on social. So when you combine the two, it feels like a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just the way it feels. And I would say that more than any fan base, they've been mad about the way they've been represented in the videos. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, you know, I feel like they have a chip on their shoulder just from decades of people trashing on them. So that, it's, again, I think it's just like this perfect storm of crap that's pretty much been laid upon them for so many years that they're like, whoa, 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 hey guys, we're doing well. So again, on the whole, just slightly above average, but the majority of them, like the nice people and the people who are like just super passionate outweigh it for me. Like the kindness tends to overwhelm me more than the negative.
Well, I'm glad about that, because we could be pretty crazy and we get a bit defensive. And I myself, even, you know, as much as I know better with having been credentialed and everything like that, I was listening to SiriusXM NHL radio the other day, and the hockey news, Ken Campbell was on, and he had said something I didn't really like with the way that he said it. So not really thinking that it was going to come out the wrong way when I wrote it. And I tagged him in it. He yelled at me and proceeded to get into a 45-minute fight with me on Twitter.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, too, is that like media in general now is aware of it. And it's just causing this really weird Twitter feud between like Isles fans versus everyone else. And I think part of the Isles fan base like actually loves it. Like, you guys love being in that role. Like, and not in a bad way, but I think there is that little bit that's really enjoying it. And because it's fun, it is a really fun storyline. It is. Like, the fact that I always love a good underdog story. So this, to me, is like a quintessential underdog story. But, you know, I think sometimes also, like, off the cuff, we just say things. Because, like, at one point, I was really frustrated with Isles fans. It was after somebody DM'd me about, like, my dogs. And I got very upset. And I was like, you guys are pushing my limits here. And I was like, I probably shouldn't have said it that way. Because, like, again, 90% of you are being above and beyond nice. But, God, that 10% sometimes are so intense and so passionate that it was just, like, very overwhelming for me for a little bit.
I think that the key here is that people like myself, you know, and I'm 38, so I've seen a couple of playoffs go past the first round. Granted, I was too young to really remember the dynasty years, you know, maybe the tail end a little bit here, hearing stories or whatever, you know. And then I had Mark Parrish on earlier in the season. He's actually going to be coming on later on this week as well. And the way he was talking about, like, the 2002 series against Toronto, I was there at the Coliseum for that. So, there's, you know, I got to see that as much as some bad stuff happened. So, for all intents and purposes, a lot of fans in this fan base have not gotten to experience anything positive. A lot of them born in the mid-90s have only dealt with drama. Mike Milbury and, you know, trading away, like, amazing players who are... The backbone of other organizations and stuff like that. So,
I mean, it hasn't been fun. We'll put it that way. There have been fun moments, but overall, it's been not great.
No, and that's going to bring us to right now, because do you feel that the Islanders are this year's Vegas Golden Knights?
Yes. I've said this before, and I said it like a while ago, where I was just like, it reminds me of that. And there's, like, you could definitely make some other comparisons. Like, I've seen people make comparisons to, like, the 95 Devils and the 2012 Devils. But what I really like about it when you compare it to the Vegas Knights of last year, one, is that it's the most recent. So it's, you know, everyone kind of remembers that. And, like, I don't remember the 95 Devils. I was probably, like, what, 4 or 5? But what I like about it is that when you look at the roster of those teams, you're like, They shouldn't be this good. Like, they shouldn't be. You would just look at that and, like, not that the players are all bad, but you look at the rosters of the teams that are in the division with them. You're like, on paper, they should be better, right? That was what you did with the Knights the whole time. And you just kind of kept sitting there and being like, okay, when is it going to actually just fall apart? When's it going to fall apart? And then all of a sudden, you're like, well, maybe it's not going to fall apart. Like, maybe this is legit. And you're like, okay, wait a second. I think this is legit. And that's the same exact storyline in that way to me, where it started out with literally no expectations. Like, everyone, there was like an article about the Islanders in the beginning, before the season, about like ranking every team from like the Islanders to best. And there were really low expectations. And I think especially with everything that happened, and, you know, you have Toronto, if he had gone to any other team, but Toronto is this big, like, NHL conglomerate, right? There's so many great little storylines there, but when you compare the two, it's very exciting. And you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe this team can continue to surprise us. And I think at this point, it's no longer a surprise. The team's clearly bought into the system. Goaltending's doing well. People are performing well. And it's just exciting at this point. And now it's like, all right, like, the worst part, though, is with the Knights, too. You're still always waiting for, like, that one moment. Like, is it real or is it not real? And I think we all had that even up until, like, the second round of the playoffs for the Knights, where it was like, okay, I guess this is real. I guess the other shoe is not going to drop. And I think that's going to happen with the Islanders. I think there's still that little bit where it's like, but is it real? Is this actually happening? Are we actually allowed to have fun? Can we enjoy this? And I think that's going to continue to happen.
I think that's like not Stockholm syndrome-esque, but it's, you know, from being down and out for so long, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, you know, the Islanders lost to Buffalo last night, but you had to expect a letdown game at some point, you know, and the last one we had was against Boston, but then we bounced back with 3 more wins, and you can't win every game.
No.
I mean, no team can. I mean, Tampa's trying, but...
they certainly are, but you can't... even they lose games,
right.
So, you know, it's bound to happen.
So, I mean... in that respect, you know, that rolls right into the next couple of questions I have for you, because you have no idea how one of the comments you had a couple of weeks back of the system can only get you so far.
Yeah.
So how do you think the Isles address this?
So, I mean, in general, when you look at this roster, right, like, I would say there obviously needs to be more depth. And I always say his name wrong, and I blame my mom for this. Barzal. I'm saying it right the time, right?
Yes, Barzal.
So he is so fun to watch. And the one thing that's interesting for me to think about is, like, just imagine Panarin and him. You know, just like I like to put that seed out there, because, like, that would be fun. But in general, just more depth. But I the other thing I think about is this entire team has clearly bought into the system. And when it's firing on all cylinders like this, you start to worry about adding a big name player, because you worry about messing up the juju. You know, if things are flowing well, do you really want to bring in somebody right now before the playoffs? I think maybe it's exciting to think about them maybe going and getting a big name. But I also think the way things are working right now, let the system keep being the system and see how far it gets you during this playoffs. Because who the hell knows how far it gets you? Because we all know that the playoffs anymore is the hot goaltender can get you pretty damn far. And with the way the goaltending has been, I feel like in with the Islanders, it could get you far. And then maybe in July, start thinking about adding some depth. That's how I would approach it. But again, yeah, just this team has surprised me in every way possible. So who knows? Maybe they go and they get Panarin and it's just they become a cup contending team. You don't know. That's the exciting part.
I think that's the best part about hockey is you just never know what's going to happen. You know, you don't want to see injuries happen, but that's always something you have to have in the forefront of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depth is very important. Goaltending, obviously, very important. And the Islanders have the top two goaltenders in the entire league.
Ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Like, I'm, as a Flyers fan, and, like, I get Carter Hart is exciting, but, like, I'm still pissed about the goaltending situation that you guys have. Like, I'm salty. I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie. Like,
hey, look.
How is it working? How?
You could have endured the dreaded three-goalie rotation that we went through a couple years back. So with
valid.
With Berube, who they kept and I think wasted a pick on in the expansion drafts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, you know, I think you guys have suffered enough that, like, you deserve to have this fun that you're having right now.
But how come you didn't say Carter Hart do?
Oh, God. You know, the funniest thing about that was I was so freaking self-conscious about that one, because, like, that's probably I'm annoying in general. Like, some people find me annoying, and I'm like, that's great. So does my family. But, like, that was, like, well, thanks, Mom. You know, but I was just very nervous to do that because I had never, did you heard my voice? It's not very good. And, like, I can't even keep a beat with the most simple song ever. Like, it's Baby Shark, do. And I can barely keep the tempo. Like, that's just, I'm an embarrassment.
Oh, stop it. There are thousands of people laughing along with you, not at you.
Thanks. We'll see. I mean, might be some at me. Yeah.
They might be. I mean, me too. I mean, I'm just over here in front of a computer with a microphone. Nobody can see me in all my unshaved face glory.
Yeah. They don't even need to know, right? They don't even need to. You're perfectly clean shaven right now. That's the beauty of it.
And I'm not in my pajamas. I am wearing a three-piece suit.
So, yeah. I also don't have Adidas sweatpants on. I'm wearing, you know, like a cocktail dress. We're good.
That is the wonderful stuff about the internet. You can be whatever you want to be, whenever you want to be it.
Well, the best thing about, like, to get sidetracked for, like, the 30th time, my bad, my apologies. But, like, most of the time when I'm filming this, I have, like, leggings on underneath. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever because I love leggings just because they're so comfortable. Like, they're just, like, comfy sweatpants. So it's a great way to fool everybody. Although I just ruined it because now I've just told everybody.
All right. So to close things out, and, you know, we never know. We might go get down weird forked paths and get lost in the woods of just randomness, but which is fine with me because I like randomness.
I apologize. I really do. I don't mean to keep getting sidetracked.
It's fine. It's fine. They probably stopped listening at this point, but it's fine.
Sorry, guys.
You know, that's the good part about spreading out the Islander stuff throughout. So, you know, you never know where things are going to be. You're going to have to listen to the whole 50 minutes.
The whole thing. They're going to have to.
But what can we expect from you here moving forward? Do you have any big plans? What do you have any big ideas? What's going to happen during the playoffs?
Well, so I am making two videos this weekend. So we'll see how that does related to the trade deadline. Working on featuring my pugs in one of them. So that's very exciting for me because I'm obviously a crazy pug lady. And with the playoffs, I have a lot of really fun content ideas for that. So that'll be coming around. And I think the biggest thing is just seeing who actually makes the playoffs and like in what position they are in, like, I'm actually starting to believe that the Islanders could be first in the Metro going into the playoffs, which is just mind-blowing to me, in a good way, in a very good way. So there, I think for me, it's just always continuing to make content and just continuing to try to reach more people and make people laugh, and really just enjoy hockey, I think, is the bottom line. Is the hockey, it's such a fun sport, and if I can make people laugh about it, then that's even better.
Well, I definitely wanted to spread your stuff out as much as I possibly could because it's enjoyable and everyone needs to know about it.
Thank you.
And if you're going to be recording this weekend, I might have to call you while you're recording to let you know that the Islanders are in first in the Metro.
Yeah. Honestly, that is my favorite thing that has ever happened, is that every time I open Twitter and I look at my mentions, I'm like, there is like at least two people telling me that the Islanders are first in the Metro, and it makes me happy every single time. So please do. Please call me and let me know, just in case I've forgotten.
I'll just be like, hey, this is Mike from the Isles Faithful Podcast, and I just wanted to remind you that the Islanders are first in the Metro.
Please do. It would make me happy.
All right, Jillian, I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we keep in contact, and if you do wind up making your way to Long Island, I would love to have an adult beverage.
Absolutely. I will let you know when I plan to make it down there for hopefully a game at the Coliseum.
All right. Why don't you throw your socials out there, let everyone know where they can follow you and watch and read and everything else.
All that fun stuff. Everything is at Fisher Jillian, because some other Jillian Fisher stole all the handles before me. So it's at Fisher Jillian, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
All right. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And if you guys are out there listening, you could follow me on Twitter at Isles Blogger, at Faithful Isles. We're on Instagram, YouTube now, big thing. Hopefully Jillian links back to me and gives me some love over there.
Oh, yes. YouTube. I need to be better at YouTube. So, yeah, let me know because I'll do it.
And once again, as always, I am your host, Michael Sherline. This has been Jillian Fisher with me along for the ride. It's been episode number 24. See, I remembered the number this time.
Good job.
Thank you. And we will see you soon. Hopefully not too soon, but hopefully not too long in the future. Let's go, Islanders. Hey, also, did you know that they're first in the Metro?
Oh, it's perfect.
Thanks for coming on.